Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a special treat for you. I am joined by our guest, Kelly Roach, who is a Fortune 500 executive turned business mogul. And she is going to share with us a ton of tips today regarding entrepreneurship. I am so excited for her to join us. So thank you for joining us.
So happy to be here.
So tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into entrepreneurship to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. So was not my dream. I wanted to get into corporate America and climb the corporate ladder and get to the top of a big corporation. And I did. I was promoted 7 times in 8 years. I became the youngest senior vice president in the company. I ended up going from being an individual producer in the most entry-level job in the company to managing a portfolio of about 50 million and building a team of 100 people. I ended up managing about 17 locations. And I just fell in love with building winning teams and teaching and coaching people and helping them to achieve their potential. And I love the game of business. I love the game of growth. I love helping people win. And I was at that point in my life where I had gone through all this growth and success in the Fortune 500 world. And I had met my husband at that point. And we were starting to talk about really, what did we want for our life? What did our dream life look like? And what it didn't look like was going into an office every day and being on planes and trains and constantly traveling and just the stress of kind of being not creatively able to solve problems using my intuition, but needing to instead play within a box. And all of that led to me really asking the question, like, how can I use my gifts in the most meaningful way that's going to make the biggest difference? And how can I do this in a way that is going to also align with the life that I want to create? And that's when I decided to really just focus everything that I had learned on how can I help small business owners to understand the principles that are used by billion-dollar corporations that are traded on the stock market, apply them to their small business so that they can have success and freedom and get to where they want to be in their business. And so that's how the journey began for me.
I love that. I have so many questions already. One, when we were doing research before having you on the podcast, I was creeping on your LinkedIn profile, which is phenomenal, by the way. I was like, she has how many followers on LinkedIn? And I saw that you were promoted 7 times in 8 years. I was like, wow, that's amazing and such a cool thing to share. And also for a lot of small business owners, I love that you are in charge of so many team because I find that's a really hard skill set for people if they've never had to be in charge of other people. So are there some tips that you have? A lot of our listeners have maybe smaller teams, like 3 to 20 people on their team. Is there any tips that you share with them that you think leads to having a really good team culture?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was shocked when I got into the entrepreneurial space and learned that most small business owners didn't have any training or experience or knowledge of how to build winning teams. And I actually wrote a book about it, which I'll give you the link to put in the show notes to give a digital copy for free to everyone who listens to the show.
Awesome.
Because I realized that people needed a framework for building winning teams. Because the truth is, you will never have entrepreneurial freedom, no matter how big you get, no matter how much success you have gaining clients and customers, if you don't build a winning team. And so a lot of what I help people to do is to transition from being the business to running a company.
Mm-hmm.
Two different things. Right. And for those of you listening that have a brick and mortar, you know how it feels when you feel like you have to be there all the time and you have to keep eyes on everything. And if you're not going into the office or going into your practice every day, that you don't feel like things are going to get done the way that they should. And so what we want to do is we want to get away from that. And you said, what are some tips for doing that? The first thing is that great leadership is a mindset. Mm-hmm. And you can either see your team as a tool to help you get to your objectives that in many ways is standing in the way of you getting what you want and achieving the results that you want. Or you can see your team as a relationship and a partnership where you can help them accomplish their goals and dreams. And in turn, they're going to help you to accomplish your goals and dreams. So the first thing that I always tell people is leadership is an art and science. It takes years to develop skills to be a great leader and to build championship teams. But the very first step is developing a mindset of the desire to want to be a better leader. Mm-hmm. And most people don't have that desire, like really. Mm-hmm. They want to get better results from their people, but they don't necessarily want to invest their time, their effort, their energy into becoming a better leader. And that's the very first step, because if you don't have that mindset, you're always going to have a one-sided approach to how you interact with your people, which means that there's already subconscious friction in the relationship. You're not operating with a unified purpose. You're not operating in conjunction as a team. It's like you see them as both an obstacle and a path to an outcome, and they see you as a necessary evil. And even if you get along really nicely with your team, you might be sitting here listening to this and being like, I have a wonderful team. They're so nice. We get along great. That's not the same as having a winning team that can drive your business forward and really help you get results.
I love that. Is there anything in the hiring process that maybe you look for to create that winning team? Is there like a characteristic trait that stands out that you're like, oh, I really want this person on my team?
Yeah, there's so many things. And I think part of it is the process and part of it is what you look for in the person. I have found that people that tend to win in entrepreneurial companies overall are people that have done hard things and had success with it. Like, yep. Pretty basic, right? And you would say, oh, anyone you interview is going to say that. No, you'd actually be surprised. They won't. Ask someone, tell me about a time where you worked towards a goal for 3 to 5 years and you were able to accomplish something that you're really proud of. What were the obstacles that you overcame? What kept you going? What was the outcome? You'll be shocked at the difference between the answers that you'll get from two different people. And it really shows the grit and the character and the depth of fortitude that someone has. And also their perspective on what they think hard was, right? Yeah. You can tell a lot about someone based on their description of what hard looks like. Right?
Yes, totally.
Another question that I ask people is I ask them to tell me about the most stressful experience that they've had at work. And why do I ask that again? Because running a practice, running a brick and mortar, running your own business, there's constant stress, there's constant change, there's constant things that you had a plan for the day and all of a sudden it changes. If you have someone that gets easily stressed out, they're not going to be productive in your environment. You know that.
Totally.
Because you're dealing with constant change. You need someone that is able to pivot on their feet really quickly, that's very emotionally pliable, that has a flexible attitude. So just taking the time to think about questions that you can ask that are going to reveal how someone has handled something in the past, behavioral event questions, are always going to be a great indicator of what you can expect from that person in the future.
Yeah, I love that. I was chatting with my executive assistant the other day and I was like, I wish you could have a filter question when you're interviewing and say, tell me about trauma that you've suffered, because people who face trauma and then overcome it are some of the most resilient people on earth. And they make great team members because they're not getting flustered over an email or over a payment being declined or things like that. And so you can't do that. I'm pretty sure that's not legal, but there are definitely ways to see how resilient people are, the kind of stress that they faced. I've loved that. What are some of the key players that you think have made a big impact in your life and running your businesses? Is it an executive assistant? I know you have a background where you help clients in sales and marketing. Do you aim to hire one over the other, or is it just dependent upon the business?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first hire obviously is going to be either an executive assistant or a virtual assistant, someone that can take everything off your plate that doesn't relate to creating revenue and delivering value for clients, right? So those are the only two things that you should be doing in the beginning stage is creating more revenue, delivering value for your paying clients. That's it. Everything else should come off your plate, and that's where you want an admin or an exec admin or a virtual assistant doing that for you. Then from there, you either are going to focus starting on the front of the house or focusing starting on the back of the house, and both of them are equally important. The front of the house, sales and marketing, the back of the house, service delivery, ops financed. And a lot of business owners where they get stuck is they never actually have someone doing sales in their business. I could name 9 out of 10 business owners that I crossed paths with have no one selling for them. Mm-hmm. And then they complain and they wonder why they can't take vacations. They can't take time off. They always feel stressed about money. They feel like their team isn't performing. And it has nothing to do with that, any of those things. It's the fact that that's the heartbeat of the business. And if you're the only person that's doing it, then that's just constant stress for you. You can never turn off. You can never shut down. So that's one of the most important things. I would pivot into that because once you get someone on board that can help you to produce revenue, that person can help you produce the revenue to then hire for the first person that's going to help you with the service delivery of actually serving customers and producing based on whatever your deliverable within your organization is.
I love that. How do you think that, obviously you're a busy mom, a busy business mogul, building businesses, doing investing, all sorts of fun stuff that most of our listeners aspire to do. How do you prioritize like your well-being? I know you're super into health and fitness as well. So what are some of the key things that you're like, my schedule looks like this and this is how I fit it all in?
Yeah, for me in the morning, exercise, meditation, prayer. Those are basically non-negotiables for me. And what I always say to people is, I think your morning routine needs to look very different depending on what stage of life you're in and what you have on your plate. When I was working 60 hours a week in my corporate job and I was building my business on the side, you better believe I was not waking up, going to the gym, meditating, and sitting around crying before my workday started. And I always share that because I think it is really unfair to prescribe any type of morning routine when people are in all different life situations and all different circumstances, depending on their situation. But for me, at this stage of life, I have the freedom to do that. I worked really hard to be able to retire my husband. So he's home full time with my daughter and is accessible and available to run the house and to be present with her when I'm working and doing these things. And I have leaders that run my businesses, right? So they are operating the day-to-day functionality of each of my companies. But that said, I think what you have to decide at every stage of life is what are your non-negotiables? Like my non-negotiables are anything that's going on for Madison. If she has a dance recital, if she has a practice, if she has a show at school, if she has, you know, any kind of thing for her, Billy and I are always going to be there together. That's a non-negotiable. It's not on the table. It's that is the priority, right? You need to know what are your glass balls versus what are your rubber balls? What are the things that you're willing to drop at this stage of life that you can pick back up later? And what are the things that you can't afford to drop? Because if you do, they're not repairable, right? Mm-hmm. And that's things like your marriage, your relationship with your children, your health and well-being, those kinds of things. And I think the only way when you're running a business to be able to also have the space for those other things is to prioritize them first. They have to get the first spot on the calendar. And then the business has to take what's left over. Because if you put the business first, there isn't anything left over, ever.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. And I think a lot of people, especially when they're starting an entrepreneurship, maybe get that wrong because they're like, okay, the business is the most important thing. It has to be my number one focus. And I love that you have a child so we can talk about this. But I love when people without children say you're just not working hard enough or like you need to prioritize your time better. And I remember as a new mom, when I had my infant son that was like nursing around the clock, I'm like, no, when I haven't slept all night, I can't just wake up at 5 o'clock and start working on my business. And I'm a hustler. I can operate on a little bit of sleep, but I love that you pointed out different seasons require different parts of ourselves to show up. And I love the reference of knowing what's a glass ball versus a rubber ball, because I think people can easily conceptualize that and start to put it in one or the other and then really prioritize what matters most.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. And I think the most important thing is like, you just have to run your own race. Like you have to design a family life and a home plan and a business plan that is 100% customized for you and your family and your circumstances. And I think there's a lot of great things about doing business online. I am very thankful because all of my businesses have been built online, but I think there's also a lot of dangerous things about the online world. And one of them is being influenced by influencers in a situation where in most cases, they're simply just doing a good job marketing.
Yep.
And this is what I say to people all the time. I'm like, you're getting depressed over someone who's doing a good job marketing.
Yep.
Like, that's not their life. That's them doing a good job at their job. And so you have to be really careful to guard your mind and to run your own race and to not get caught up in that, because it can lead to decisions that really take you off track for your life and for your mm-hmm. happiness.
Yeah, I love that. Their job online is to influence you to think that their life is the best.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so good job to them for doing yeah. a great job. And you don't have to be like angry or upset about it. But if you can't recognize when you're watching a commercial that you're watching a commercial, then it's shame on you.
Yes.
You're watching a commercial.
Like, totally.
So I just try to like remind people of that.
Yeah, definitely. Switching gears a little bit, because I love at the beginning of the podcast, you said like business is a game and I love winning. And I have that same. And I don't know that I know a ton of women that feel that way, but I know the few of us that do get really excited about starting new businesses and growing businesses. What are some of the things that you're really excited about inside of your business right now?
Yeah. Well, I'm just excited about creating superior solutions in the market. For me, I really enjoy the process of innovation. I think we're in a really interesting time right now where there's a lot of kind of collision of a lot of different circumstances that are causing a lot of shifts for business mm-hmm. owners. And you can either take that as feeling panicked and feeling overwhelmed, or you can see that when one tide goes out, another tide goes in. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity and a lot of change. And it's always an inflection point as business leaders to look at the level of impact that we're making and the level of solutions that we're creating and how we can make sure that what we're delivering actually is a superior solution versus the other options in the market. And that's what a market like what we're operating in today is going to force people to do. And that's a great thing, because you getting better at your craft is always mm-hmm. going to serve you well, no matter what yep. market you're operating in. So mm-hmm. I'm enjoying that process. I'm enjoying really working with my leaders across the different companies to optimize the business models and to optimize how they're functioning with their teams that they're leading. And just again, trying to look at how we're showing up in the market and how we can be better. I think that process can be really fun if you can allow yourself to enjoy the game of business versus always operating from this place of looking at the gap of where you're not, but instead looking at exactly where you are and just how you can optimize and up level to then move to the next step.
Yeah. And all the opportunities that are available to us, because I think in this market and all the different things that we're going through, it's like you said, you can look at it through the lens of, oh, crap, this isn't going to work out in my favor, or wow, there has never been more opportunity for me to improve myself and my business and really stand out from the crowd. I loved one thing that you shared on your social recently that was like saying, I think you were speaking on a stage and you were like, if you're in a room and your people are telling you that your goals are too big and your dreams are too big, like you just have to listen to your inner knowing and return to your purpose. Can you share a little bit more about that philosophy?
Yeah, I think when you make empowered decisions to uplevel your life, like you're always going to have people that are like, you're working too hard, you're doing too much. Like, why do you need this after you already accomplished this and this? And there's always going to be dissenting voices. And I think people that are meant to do big things, that are meant to create positive change in the world, they have been called. Like, you mm-hmm. are being called. If you feel that, it's you're feeling that because you're not meant to just settle. You're meant to do something to initiate change, impact, positive movement forward in society or culture. And that's why I say you have to return to listening to your own intuition. And I think one thing that has happened with the internet is like every opinion has been made equal. And that's a yes. really dangerous thing. And you need to learn how to value self-trust and your calling and your intuition more than abdicating your power to looking for permission or validation from other people outside of you that they're not you. Like yeah. they're not hearing the call that you've been given. They don't know what's in your heart and what's your soul and what your purpose for your life really, truly looks like.
Yeah, I love that. I think that sometimes maybe we're listening to that voice, but we're trying to quiet it down. We're like, no, 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 that's not what it means. But I think the most successful entrepreneurs out there are the ones who listen to that voice about all the decisions within their business. Oh, this feels good. Sometimes we think we need analytical data, and I'm a numbers girl. I love looking at the data, but sometimes you just have to listen to your intuition too.
For sure. And I'm the same way. Like I'm a strategist. I love looking at things through the lens of like efficiency and data and numbers and all of those things. But all of my most important decisions always come from intuition. Always. Mm-hmm. So not me sitting with a piece of paper and saying, the numbers tell me, like, you already know.
Yeah, I love that. Where can our listeners connect more with you? I know I already shouted you out on LinkedIn and your amazing profile. I know you're on Instagram. Is that the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, The Kelly Roach Show, right? I pour my heart and soul into the show. I release new episodes every single week. So business growth, leadership, faith development, putting your family first. That's a great place to connect.
And then we'll drop that book inside of our show notes so you could catch it and make sure you download it and connect with her there as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.